This is Radio Superior 1949, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1949. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the land of beautiful lakes. It's Friday evening, September 23rd, 1949. This is Jack McKenna reminding you that the successful man doesn't spend all he makes, and the failure doesn't make all he spends. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news. Harriet is in with the community happenings. And we've got special guests, Apostle Island's trolling captains with a fishing report. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Roth's Department Store, where it's time to lay away Christmas toys. Roth's is featuring a doll that cries for 2 minutes once you lay it down. Good evening, Lou.
Hold everything. Hold it right there, Buster.
Hi, Joe. It's time for Lou's news.
If you don't mind.
Sorry, Lou, but as chief engineer in charge, I think it behooves me to take a stand right here and now. This is a quality control kind of thing. First of all, it's still September, and they're talking about Christmas shopping?
Well, it's a layaway plan to help people pay on layaway.
Which is why they call it the layaway.
Secondly, who wants to hear a baby cry for 2 minutes straight? Talk about an annoying toy.
I've got to agree with that one, Joe.
Then I'll cross off the crying baby doll off your Christmas list.
Say, Lou, it's a couple of minutes after 6. You should get going with your news. You're going to be late.
How careless of me. Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. A report says the Soviets have the atomic bomb. We begin our world report from Washington.
This is Washington. Jack Bell reporting. The United States has evidence of a recent atomic explosion in Russia, indicating the communists at long last have learned to make an A-bomb. President Truman disclosed this in a statement today. He then held an hour-long session with his cabinet about it. Mr. Truman says the development emphasizes the necessity for truly enforceable international control of atomic energy. The United States has sought that through the United Nations, but has been unable to get together with Russia on how it should be carried out. Trying to reassure the American people, the president says the probability that some other nation might develop an atomic bomb has always been taken into account by us. Quickly after the White House announcement came, word came from the British government in London that it also has evidence of an atomic explosion in Russia. In Washington, the word swept swiftly around the government departments and through Congress. At the Pentagon, headquarters of the military service, there were signs of excitement, but no officials would discuss the matter. A spokesman for the Atomic Energy Commission said, "We have nothing to say." Reporters pressed Secretary of Defense Johnson for more information when he left the cabinet meeting. At the Capitol, Senate Atomic Energy Committee Chairman McMahon from Connecticut called a meeting of the committee behind closed doors. Insiders do say that hostile powers were expected to have the atomic bomb by 1952. The impact is certain to be felt around the world and to have major international repercussions. Presidential Press Secretary Charles Ross indicated Mr. Truman had no immediate plans for any elaboration on the announcement. Chairman of the Atomic Energy Commission's advisory board, Dr. Robert Oppenheimer, one of those who played a big part in developing the U.S. atomic bomb in 1945, told reporters, quote, "I'm very glad we know the facts." In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
This is the nation's capital. Hightower here. The Russians and their communist allies in Europe have thrown out repeated hints that the USSR has broken the secret of atomic bomb production. A year ago, Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Vyshinsky proclaimed in Paris that the United States no longer had a monopoly on the deadliest weapon in the history of warfare. Almost a year before that, Vyshinsky's predecessor, Foreign Minister V.M. Molotov, dropped a suggestion only a bit less broad. The secret of the atomic bomb, he said, has ceased to exist. A Paris weekly newspaper, Samedi des Soir, said on July 26th that the USSR has the atomic bomb. It said that on July 10th, United States detecting devices had revealed without doubt that the Russians had atom bombs exploded in their faraway Asian territories. This overturns the whole strategy of the Cold War, according to that newspaper. Russia has refused to submit to international inspection of atomic energy production as envisioned in the plan supported by the West. This has held up the Atomic Energy Commission of the United Nations, which has virtually despaired of reaching an agreement. Secretary of State Dean Acheson says a Russian atomic explosion was long expected and is no surprise to the United States government. He says the blast was that of an atomic weapon, but did not explain further. Acheson says it may be a shock to many people who had not thought about the atomic situation. But Acheson says the American people have been told fully that Russia someday might have an atomic explosion. In Washington, this is John Hightower.
This is Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. The Truman administration chalked up an important foreign policy victory today. On the strength of a 55-24 Senate vote, the president's overseas arms program has been approved. The Senate reached its decision late last night to rearm friendly nations after beating down two moves to cut the $1.3 billion arms bill. As the Senate bill now stands, it provides $1 billion for rearming North Atlantic treaty nations, $200 million for Greece and Turkey, $27 million for Iran, Korea, and the Philippines, and $75 million for nationalist China fighting communist forces. Texas Democratic Senator Tom Connelly and Michigan Republican Senator Arthur Vandenberg led the bipartisan effort to pass the arms bill. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
The crucial battle for the best port left in nationalist China swelled in fury today. Hard-pressed land defenses were aided by air and naval forces, an attempt to halt the crushing Red assaults on the southeastern port of Amoy. Russia's Andrei Vyshinsky accused the United States of leading an aggressive bloc of nations in plans for a new war. In a prepared text to be delivered to the United Nations Assembly, Vyshinsky made no mention of the Soviets exploding an atomic bomb. From Dachau, Germany, a new unmarked mass grave jammed with the skeletons of about 4,000 victims of the notorious Dachau concentration camp have been discovered. The burial was found by a German-American commission investigating another burial grounds found by a construction contractor at Dachau. General George C. Marshall is coming back to public life. He'll be the new president of the Red Cross. The former Secretary of State retired at the beginning of the year after having a kidney removed. KUWS Radio News time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has this message from Ross Department Store.
Well, Lou, as I said earlier, the 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Ross Department Store, where it's time to lay away Christmas toys. Oh, boy, it's going to be fun. Roth's is featuring a doll, for example, that cries for 2 minutes once you lay it down. Electric trains, well, Lionel, of course, and erector sets and puzzles and all kinds of wonderful things that you can put on layaway at Roth's Department Store. And it's in downtown Superior, of course.
Mr. and Mrs. John Ostrom of 1626 East 6th Street in Superior have received official information from the Army Air Force that the body of their son has been found. First Lieutenant Paul Ostrom was found in Belgium. The body's been sent to the United States for burial, which will take place at Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery in St. Louis. 24-year-old Lieutenant Ostrom was on a bombing mission over Germany when the plane was struck by enemy fire. He was one of 6 Americans killed. There was only 1 survivor. The plane was down during the Battle of the Bulge, December 23, 1944. Lieutenant Ostrom entered the service with the National Guard in 1940 and has been overseas 2 years before he was killed. He had taken part in over 30 missions. He was a member of the Pilgrim Lutheran Church. The dedication of the Richard Ira Bong Memorial Forest will take place Saturday. KUWS Radio Newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
This will be something, Lou. Bong Memorial Forest Chairman Manley Sharp says there will be a squadron of F-51s from the South Dakota Air National Guard to fly over. As impressive as that is, it's more moving to know that the man who had the second most kills of enemy aircraft, next only to Major Bong, will be in that flyover. Lieutenant Colonel Joseph Foss of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, has confirmed that he will be on hand. Colonel Foss has 36 Japanese kills in the Pacific, while Major Bong had 40. No other American pilot in any war has shot down more enemy planes in the air than either of them. Also adding to this colorful event will be the children of the Lake Nebagamon, Poplar, and Francis Willard School in Highland. The forest is owned by the three school districts and will be a lasting memorial to the farm boy from Poplar, who will always be remembered as America's Ace of Aces. Lou?
Thanks, Mike. Northland College in Ashland has one of the largest enrollments in many years. Not all of the numbers are in yet, but 114 freshmen have enrolled this fall, making the total student body at about 325. And workers finishing the Tower Avenue pavement project revived a tradition that hasn't been done since before the war. At just afternoon today, when the last batch of concrete for Tower Avenue and 63rd was being mixed, the men threw their hats in the mixer. Worker Jelmer Rundy says that the hats became scarce during the war, so the men stopped doing it. The Highway 35 project began August the 30th at Patterson Park and ended 6 miles later in South Superior today. Jack?
Hats off to the construction workers then, Lou. And thanks, Lou. Lou Martin, the newsman who throws fedoras at his typewriter. Let's check the forcast for this Friday night, September 23rd, 1949. Fair skies and cool. We could get frost tonight, folks. Then sunshine tomorrow with a high near 60. For crying out loud. By golly, that means it's music time, though. Here's Freddie Martin and his orchestra with vocals by Glenn Hughes and Slow Boat to China on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Faraway shore, out on the briny, with a moon big and shiny, melt in your heart of stone. I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China. Myself alone. There is no verse to this song, 'cause I don't want to wait a moment too long to say that
I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China all to myself alone.
Get you and keep you in my arms evermore.
Leave all your lovers weeping on the faraway shore, out on the briny with a moon big and shiny, melting your heart of stone, melting your heart of stone. Doo-doo.
I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China.
myself alone.
Freddie Martin and Slow Boat to China on station KUWS. Friends, there's a place in Gordon just 40 minutes south of Superior called the Old Oak Bar. It's a comfortable place with food the way you like it. Have a steak or fish served with your favorite mixed drink. The Old Oak Bar in Gordon, where pleasing you is tops, along with a fish, on their menu.
I should have known you'd be talking about eating, McCorkle. These are serious times, man. You don't think the Ruskies are eating and drinking, do you? Well, maybe drinking.
I have no idea what they're doing. Or, for that matter, what you're doing here.
Good listeners, this is Colonel Joe Raffoli.
The Colonel's got a point.
Station engineer in charge, Joe Gardonio.
It looks like the Joes have it. But before they go farther, and I know they will go too far, let's hear from the sportsmen with the Andrews sisters and Tooley Ooley Dooley on the Martin and McKenna Show.
You better believe the Ruskies aren't Tooley Ooley Dooleying right now.
When a fellow meets a girl in Switzerland, there's a certain thing he's gotta do. He can never, never take her by the hand till he learns to tooley-ooley-doo. When a Swiss boy goes calling on a Swiss miss in June,
he sings this pretty tune.
And he charms her like magic when he yodels this tune. Dooley-dooley-doo.
Beneath the alpine moon,
the echo goes higher. Now you know what to do. Dooley, 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 do, and make your dreams come true.
Sportsman and Tooley Ooley Dooley on KUWS.
All right, people. Now listen up. The commies have the bomb now, so you know what that means.
Try to work out an atomic weapons agreement through the United Nations so that all nations can live in peace?
What kind of la-la-land Cinderella world do you live in, McMartin?
Hey, how about Heidi? I like Heidi.
Pollyanna is my favorite.
Oh, yeah, she's good, too.
When you ladies clam up and smell the coffee,
huh?
Heidi or Pollyanna, if the Ruskies have the A-bomb, that means we need to build a bigger bomb.
I'm afraid the Colonel's right on this one. In foreign policy circles, might means right. So we have to build a B-bomb.
A B-bomb?
Logically speaking, A comes after B, and so on.
We need to do something lickety-split, or they'll be over here bombing our cities and doing who knows what to our women.
Oh, Colonel, goodness! You should be ashamed of yourself, spreading fear like that! It was only 4 years ago that the Soviet Union and the United States were staunch allies to defeat Hitler and Nazi Germany. In fact, you led the relief for the Russians' winter clothing drive back in 42.
Those Reds are tricky that way. Uncle Joe Stalin had us all hoodwinked. But if we have to take stock now and figure out what to do in the face of this atomic threat...
What we need to do is to hear from community editor Harriet Farrig. And then we'll talk to the captains of a trolling boat. And there'll be no buts about it.
Is that with one T or two?
Thank you, Lewis. A T honoring the new Superior School Superintendent and new teachers will be held in the library at East High School on Tuesday. School Board President A.W. Elmgren says this will give everyone a chance to meet Superintendent Leslie Johnson. The new principal at Howe and Lincoln Schools, Miss Helen Horst, will also be there. The Superior Art Association is sponsoring a one-man show at the Douglas County Historical Museum. The paintings of Mrs. Philip Stranton of Superior features both oil and watercolor sketches of still life, portrait, and landscape. It's Mrs. Stratton's first one-man show.
She better hope more than one man shows up.
Oh, Jack. There's a gala celebration set for tomorrow in Glidden. It sounds like a perfect way to spend a Saturday. The communities of Glidden, Mellon, and Butternut will make merry the paving of Highway 13 through Ashland County. Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor George Smith will be the principal speaker, along with Assemblyman Barney Gehrman. And this will be such a thrill for the young ladies who will be crowned pavement queens, Miss Beverly Wartgo, Miss Anna Mae Jellick, and Miss Harriet Streets.
It sounds like Harriet Streets has got a one-way track on winning this one. Pavement queen.
Show!
Sorry.
Complete with concrete crowns.
Oh, Jack! All of this will be followed by a ball game between Butternut and Mellon, and then there'll be a free dance at Marion Park. What a perfect example of community and progress. Lewis?
Wonderfully done. Miss Harriet Fiery. Jack?
Yeah, sure. Beats talking about getting bigger bombs. The trolling captains from the Apostle Islands are up next, folks. Let's enjoy now Joe Stafford and Blue Moon on the Martin and McKenna Show.
only one my arms will ever hold. I heard somebody whisper, please adore me. And when I looked, the moon had turned to gold. Blue moon, now I'm no longer alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of mine.
Joe Stafford and Blue Moon on station KUWS.
Let's bring in three fishing troller captains from Bayfield. Harvey Nurse.
Yeah, sure. At your service.
Skipper of the Rumpus. Donna Marie. Skipper Ted Bowden.
Glad to meet you, Mr. Martin.
And Assistant Skipper Larry Moe of the Interlude.
Larry Moe, shish. Yo.
Hey, man. Mind if we sit in? There's nothing like a good fishing story.
Oh, the life of a boat captain. The lake air in the nostrils, the wind in your hair.
Yeah, but that Ted, he's bald.
Only the skill handed down from generation to generation that keeps you from succumbing to Lake Superior, the greatest of the Great Lakes.
Look, Skinny, I'm here to listen to them, not you. Wind in the hair. Shit.
Count me in, too, boys. I love an adventure.
If it's an adventure you want, it's adventure you'll hear, lassie. Because, Lord knows, we had more than our share this week.
You tell them, Arv. Tell them about the storm.
Oh, there you go, don't you know? Getting the ahead of self. You starts at the beginning, not the end.
Right you are, Larry Moe. There were 20 men from the Knights of Columbus. They motored all the way from Racine to do some trolling. It's the second year that they've done it.
My guess, it'll be their last.
Well, let's hope not. They're good paying customers, you know.
We takes them out to South Twin Island. That's, some 25 miles northeast of Bayfield. So it's a good little run for us. They get set up at the troller's home there on South Twin.
My brother Carl Moe and his buddy from the war, George England, built the troller's home there.
Well, the waters were a bit rough with some good swells, turning a few of those KCs green. But we were doing okay fishing around Brownstone Island.
Okay, you say. Why, our boat hauled in half a dozen trout. The most any of you guys.
Don't you start with your big mouth bragging, brother. Our boat got the biggest doggone fish. A 6.5-pounder made for some good eating.
Well, good eating if they kept their appetites. But nobody had any stomach for eating. I tells you, no sorry, Bob.
Yeah, my stomach was in my throat.
I just got down on my knees and thanked the good Lord we were alive when it was all over. That's all I have to say.
Oh, dear me.
Now, Colonel is starting to get frustrated.
Yeah, get to the storm. The storm, man.
Brothers and sister, believe me when I tell you this, because every bit of it is true.
True as the day is long.
Things were choppy at first. But that's to be expected on Gitche-Gomee, my friend. But a lifetime spent on the lake told me something was wrong.
The hint was a whopper of a squall coming out of the west there.
Never seen anything like it in all my days.
And then what?
Did you guys make a run for it, man?
Well, there was no place to run. Not on that big lake. Oh, that crusader was in the best spot. She was between Cat and Outer Island, and the skipper, Bud Bodine, put her in behind Cat. But, brother, the rest of us...
Oh, Nelly is... That's all I can say.
Like Larry says, this was a bad one. I've been on Lake Superior since I was old enough to suckle.
Goodness!
Remember, there's a lady in the room.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Since I was old enough to gum my food, and I've never seen the likes of a squall like that one, out of the west at 50 to 100 knots, real sudden-like.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, that's a blow. Surprising you didn't get swamped.
Well, the squall had whipped up huge waves and then tore off the tops of the waves, forming a wall of fresh water spray. The Donna Marie, the Interlude, and my boat, the Rumpus, were out beyond Brownstone. No protection there to speak of.
Completely at the mercy of God's watery wrath, I tell you.
So what did you do?
There's nothing you could do, right? It was that way all on the Aragon in 18. Our backs to the trenches, shells exploding all around us, bullets over our heads. We could only pray.
Interesting, Colonel. Now, Captain Nurse, what did you do?
We did what any skip of Earth's assault would do. We pointed the nose of our boats into the wind, hoping to ride out the squall.
Squalls generally come and go there pretty quick.
Yeah, usually a few minutes.
We tried to quarter the wind and waves to gain the lee of the Brownstone, but every time we tried, the wind tossed us like a kid's toys into the wave's trough.
That was the worst storm I'd ever seen.
But you made it. You're here to tell the tale.
Just as suddenly as she whipped up, she left us, and none of us did a mishap.
Wow. I'm spent.
And then Larry woke up.
Larry ain't never been the same after that squall.
Have a step behind Larry, we call him now. We returned to South Twin and held a service at the dining hall.
That was probably the northernmost mass ever held there in Wisconsin. I'll tell you that now.
We passed the hat, and the KCs came up with $30. They gave it to the Franciscan Mission in Bayfield and Red Cliff. The Franciscans, they minister to the Chippewa in the area.
What a story, to quote the colonel. Wow. Thanks, guys. We have time for one last number. This is Johnny Mercer and Accentuate the Positive on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Gather round me, everybody. Gather round me while I preach some. Feel a sermon coming on me. The topic will be sin, and that's what I'm again. If you wanna hear my story, then settle back and just sit tight while I start reviewing the attitude of doing right. You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You got to spread joy up to the maximum. Bring gloom down to the minimum. Have faith or pandemonium, liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did they do just when everything looked so dark? Man, they said we better accept you ain't the positive event. Mine ain't the negative and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No. You got to accentuate the positive, yeah. Yes, yes. I need the negative and latch on, yes, yes, to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
Johnny Mercer and Accentuate the Positive.
on KUWS.
I like the message in that song.
I like that fishing story.
It doesn't change the fact that the commies have the bomb. You can never, and I mean never, trust the Red.
It gives me the willies.
I don't want to think about it.
You boys are getting all worked up. Right here in this last few minutes, we've had many examples of why we need to work things out and live together on this planet. I mean, think of it. The Glidden Community Picnic and baseball.
Guys throwing their hats into a cement mixer.
Having a steak at the Old Oak Bar.
Fishing on that big, beautiful Lake Superior.
Yeah. Kids from the school district donating their forest to honor Major Bond.
These are things we cherish, and these are things the Russians value, too.
Especially six-pound trout.
Stay tuned for The Shadow, Mr. District Attorney, and Beulah. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, friends. The good Lord willing, that is. And no squalls hit our radio station. For Lou Martin, then, Harriet and the gang, this is Jack McKenna wishing one and all a good night.
Hey, Raffy, let's grab those trolling captains and go fishing, huh?
Weren't you here? Didn't you hear what they said? I'm not going to get squalled to death on Lake Superior. Mrs. Raffley can do that for me at home. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1949. An original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, John Munson, Ray Paulson, Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1949 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.